Continuing our discussion of the three C's, I'm going to talk today about conscientiousness. That's, of course, my term. Other people would call it credit reporting or whatever. And in the process, I'm going to talk about credit scoring and credit repositories. So let's talk about what a credit repository is. Basically, think of it as a big database, and into that database goes everything from your Sears card, that is, so your credit card with Sears, to your Visa, your MasterCard, your American Express, your any past mortgages that you have, what's known as public records, things like, you know, being arrested or having civil judgments against you. Certainly, so your name and your address, including your address history, you'll have your social security number. I mean, these people know everything. All of that goes into this database. And a lot of the challenges of maintaining that database are kind of keeping it up to date, because when you move, you don't go to the credit repositories. By the way, there are three main credit repositories. Their names change. I think it's currently Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian, but don't hold me to that. So anyway, you don't personally send any information directly to these three. It's all third-party information about you that goes there. And one of their challenges is to sort of keep it up to date. If there's a John Smith, you know, how do you keep one John Smith separate from another John Smith? And there's a real well-developed, well, it doesn't work perfectly, but it certainly they work very hard at it. System for you know, keeping people straight and sort of connecting all these different pieces of data into a single thing. And then they produce a credit report, which used to be pretty hard to read. So I won't throw an example out there, but you would get a credit report, which kind of lists all this information in kind of a weird way. And then they also summarize it. This is a phenomenon that's, you know, more or less, more a little bit more recent, maybe in the more last 25 years. A credit score, which is a kind of an index of the quality of your, an index that sort of measures your likelihood of repaying a loan. Now, how does a credit score, it used to be, when I first started at Freddie Mac, they didn't use credit scoring in mortgage lending at all. You had an underwriter look at the credit report, and that was actually a difficult thing to learn how to do. They would look at the credit report and then use a bunch of rules of thumb to decide when it was okay and when it was not. So if you had a lot of 90-day late payments, that was a problem. So on. So what the credit scoring did is it put more weights, first of all, it looked at it empirically, what predicts default. And it turned out that they put more weight on some variables. The most interesting variable is sort of the usage of credits. So if you have, let's say, $30,000 in credit lines. That is the maximum you could get if you maxed out on your cards, but you only have $2,000 actually outstanding. That would be considered a very good thing, whereas if you had the $30,000 outstanding and you were using $29,000, out of your maximum of 30,000, that's a really bad sign. And that's something that human underwriters never looked at. Another thing that human underwriters never looked at is recent inquiries. It turns out that if you've gone to a whole bunch of credit card companies or credit people, companies that offer credit, and tried to obtain credit from them, that generates an inquiry. If you have a lot of them, that's a sign that you're in trouble, that you're kind of desperate. And again, that's something that human underwriters never looked at, but that the credit scoring does. They give less weight to other things. One of the things they give less weight to, what in the mortgage industry used to be known as cry letters. That is, you're 60 days late on a payment, and you send to the mortgage company an explanation of why you were 60 days late on the payment. It's called a cry letter because you're crying about, you know, what happened to you that was so unfair that you really shouldn't have been 60 days late or whatever. And it turns out that the quality of a cry letter really doesn't make a whole lot of difference in terms of the person's actual likelihood to repay the next loan. So they get less weight in credit scoring. In fact, they don't get any weight. So that's credit scoring. And I keep using the term conscientiousness. I'll go back to that. Because I think that really is what a credit score measures. Because people have found credit scoring correlates with things that have nothing to do with repaying a loan. A few years ago, maybe it's more like 10 years ago now, an auto insurance company made the news by using the credit score as a way of pricing auto insurance, that they gave people with higher credit scores lower auto insurance rates. And that was very controversial because what in the world does a credit score have to do with the person's driving record and driving history? And the answer is it doesn't, but there's apparently a high correlation between having a low credit score and getting into accidents. And I think what that says is that this credit scoring is a measure of conscientiousness, and that when you have a high credit score, you're conscientious, you're likely to be a conscientious driver. My guess is that credit scores probably correlate very well with health, that people who have high credit scores are conscientious, they take care of themselves, they're probably healthier. There are probably all sorts of things that go on that credit scoring correlates to because it is such a good measure of conscientiousness. So there, and conscientiousness is very important in terms of predicting how well a person will do with a mortgage. And I suspect also that having a low down payment is a negative sign in terms of conscientiousness, or saving enough for a down payment is a sign of conscientiousness. So that when you have a mortgage loan with a high loan-to-value ratio, meaning a low down payment, so 95% or more loan-to-value ratio, you're actually taking a twofold risk. You don't have as much collateral value. A smaller decline in house prices would put you at risk for taking a loss. And also, with a high loan-to-value ratio, there's less chance that you've got a conscientious borrower, because people who are conscientious are more likely to be able to save more for a down payment. They have that ability to defer gratification, and they have this sense that they don't want to get too deeply in debt. So in addition to the credit score being a measure of conscientiousness, you can also take the loan-to-value ratio as kind of an inverse measure of conscientiousness. When the loan-to-value ratio is low, you've got a fairly conscientious borrower, and when the loan-to-value ratio is high, you've got to worry that you might not have a conscientious borrower.